Hey, welcome to the Vineyard. Welcome to those of you joining us online, whatever place or space you're in. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. And speaking to the online folks for just a moment, that we are going to be taking communion together at the end of the service today. And so if you're watching from home, you can grab some toast, grab a bagel, grab some crackers, grab some bread, juice, whatever, and just be ready at the end of the service today so you can participate with us because we're one Vineyard family. Can we welcome our online audience today? Come on, let's hear it for them. So we're wrapping up a series today that we've been in for 5 weeks called Familia. And we've said this, that whether you're a family of one or 21, this series is for you. And we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about the power of the family. We talked about marriage. We talked about being single. We've talked about when you come from a messed up family. And today, in honor of kids being out of school for the summer, we're going to talk about the value of kids. Now, some of you are going right now, yo, Pastor Kevin, did I pick the wrong weekend to come to church? You go, I've got any kids? Okay, look, no worries. We have multiple families who have agreed and volunteered to give their kids to you for a season. So you're good to go. You're good to go. So look, even if you don't have kids, even if you've never had kids, even if you don't want to have kids, this message has still got lots for you. Because what we're talking about today is more than just kids. It's relationships in general. So with a spouse, you're going to learn some things. With a spouse, with coworkers, with family members. So listen, I want you to know this. God has got something for you today. Amen. God has got something for you today. Here in this place, here in the service, he's got something for you today. So let me tell you one more thing as we get started here today. You need kids in your life. I heard somebody over here, do we really? You need kids in your life. You do, I do, we do. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you had an option, how many of you, if you could extend your life, you would like to live longer? Can I see your hands? If you got, come on, let me see your hands. You want to extend your life. Okay, yeah, you want to live longer. If you're joining us online, on the chat, just put live longer. Yeah. I'd like to live longer. You know how? Study after study has said this, that you live a longer life if you have, guess what? Kids in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have kids, your own kids. You just need somewhere in your world, you need to have interaction with kids. They don't got to be yours. Some of you are going, yeah, thank God for that. Some of you are also thinking right now, you're thinking, Pastor Kevin, I know some kids that are going to actually shorten my life. Yeah, I know some of those kids too. But as a rule, look, studies have been done. As a rule, if you have kids in your life, even if they're not yours, if you live in a space where you have these multi-generational things going on, you actually live a longer life. And more than that, kids help us grow, even if they're not your kids. I mean, just think, do you realize how much you can learn from other generations? If you're here with us today online and in the room, if you're my age, if you're 35 or over, just think what we've learned from the younger generation, right? Who would have taught you about TikTok? Memes, Blimpy, Fortnite, Poppets, Olivia Rodrigo. I mean, who teach you these things? You get to learn these things. So and other generations have a lot to teach. So look. If you are really 35 or younger, if you're younger here today, can I tell you, you need the older generation in your life. Amen. You need us in your world. We have so much wisdom to offer, so much life to offer. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why people go and repeat the same mistakes other people made. Why just keep repeating the mistakes? Older people have made all those mistakes. If they tell you the toaster is hot, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Amen. It's hot. But yet every generation's got a, psst, oh, that's hot. Every generation's got to touch it for themselves. I don't get it. There's so much wisdom out there in the older generation. Tap into that wisdom. If you're younger here today, You need the wisdom of the younger generation. You need the passion, the ideas, the energy, the creativity. You need that in your world, in your life. We need each other. We need each other in these generations. And look, we can learn so much. I think about, some of you know that I became a grandparent about 8 months ago. It's hard to believe. I'm way too young to be a grandfather. But anyway, it happens. But can I tell you how much I'm learning from my 8-month-old grandson? So much I'm learning. Like how to cry and get whatever you want. It's amazing. It's amazing. But can I tell you that 8-month-old, he is so alive. And he wakes up every day just loving life. And it's so inspiring for me. I wake up alive and loving life every day too, but that little guy, I mean, he's loving life. It's so good. And with our staff at this church, we have a multi-generational staff, which I love. We've got below 35. We've got over 35. I love it. I love it. Amen. But the truth is we need each other. In fact, why don't you turn to somebody sitting next to you right now, look at them and tell them, I need you. Tell them, I need you. I need you. We just had a marriage proposal in the back row. I heard it. I need you. We do. We need each other. We need each other. So what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about how to bring out the value of our kids, how to bring out the best in our kids and each other, how to bring out the best in our kids and each other. How do we bring out the best in people? So I want to, if you could locate an outline, here's how you locate an outline on our Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, you can go to the app store. Just search Miami Vineyard, download the app. If you're here in the room today and the seat back's in front of you, there's a card with a QR code. You just aim your phone at that. You can download the app. We'd love you to download the app. It's more than just the outline. It is the Miami Vineyard on your phone in so many ways, and we'll be referring to it a couple times here in the service today. So love you to get the app, and you can tap the outline there. You just type the answers right in. Here we go. So how to bring out the best in your kids and others. Here's I'm just two things today. I'm going to give you two ways and one word. You're going to get the word at the end. Two ways and one word. Here's your two ways. First, celebrate their God-given uniqueness. Their God-given uniqueness. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in the room have at least one other brother or sister? Can I see your hands? You have at least one other sibling. Can I see your hands? You're not an only child, in other words. Okay, that's like a lot of you. If you're online, just put in the chat, just put how many brothers and sisters you have online. So that's most of you. So amazing. Follow-up question. Are all y'all the same? No way. No. I come from a family of 7 kids. Mom and dad had 7. I'm the second oldest of 7. We are not the same. We're not the same. I mean, you know, going through school, my mom had 7 kids in 9 years. I don't know. They didn't have cable. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway. So there were 4 of us in high school. In high school, we were senior, junior, sophomore, freshman. Like in high school. 4 boys. Bing, 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 bing. And you could look at us and say, yeah, that's a Fisher kid. You could tell that. But we weren't all alike. We were radically different, vastly different in so many ways. And the same thing is true. Every kid is different. No two people are the same. Have you figured this out yet that God loves variety? I mean, living here in South Florida, have you noticed all the different kinds of lizards there are? Shapes and sizes and colors. God loves variety. I mean, it's all over the place. If you fish at all, the different fish, unbelievable what they look like. Some are scary looking. I mean, crazy stuff. And people, no two people are the same. You know, even identical twins are not identical. They're different in every way. Fingerprints, voice prints, eye prints, all kinds of ways. It's just the way God works. He loves variety. In fact, look at this next verse. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Now think about that for a moment. Just let that sink in for a moment. You are God's masterpiece. Uniquely designed by God. The word there, the original word in the Greek where we get the word masterpiece is the word poema, where we get the word poem, meaning God wrote an original poem, and it's called you. Original poem. It's called you. Amen. You are God's masterpiece. Amen. Turn to that same person you turned to earlier. Look at them and tell them, I'm God's masterpiece. Tell them, I'm God's masterpiece. I'm God's masterpiece. And now look at them and tell them, and so are you. Tell us, so are you, so are you. We're God's masterpiece. I mean, we don't often stop to think about this, but we are an original piece of art created by God. Every human being, original piece of art. And if you're a parent, you got to know that each of your kids is an original piece of art created by God. Amen. And they're not the same. They're unique. How many of you are familiar with this personality test called Enneagram? Anybody familiar with Enneagram? Enneagram, okay, we got some people. Enneagram is kind of a newer personality test where you take a battery of questions and they ask you questions about yourself and how you think and like and process things. And then you get they give you a number that denotes your personality type, 1 through 9. Now, it's not ranked 1 the best, 9 the worst. It's just 1 through 9. I took the test and I came out as a 10. I'm not sure how that works, but anyway, I'm just playing. So, my wife Debbie and I, we have 5 kids. So there's 7 of us. And my oldest son is married, so that makes 8 of us. So 8 of us, we went away on our little week-long getaway. And so we, 2 years ago, over the summer, week-long getaway, part of it was the Enneagram test. We just had fun with the Enneagram test, just all taking the test in our phones and see what numbers we were. So there's 8 of us. There's only 9 numbers. Out of the 8 people, how many do you think have the same number? Nobody. 8 people, 8 different numbers, and 5 of the kids are from my wife and I, our DNA. And nobody's got the same number because God loves diversity. God loves variety. And folks, this explains why. Look, think with me. This explains why sometimes there's conflict in the home because no 2 people are the same. You see life differently. You view life differently. You process life differently. And that's what explains so much in the home. That's why when a family tries to watch a movie, there's 3,000 choices. You can't decide on one. Everybody wants a different movie. This explains why we try to order pizza with the toppings. You can't decide on a pizza. So you get cheese. And in our house, you can't even get cheese because one of our kids is lactose intolerant. So we just get, we'll take the dough. Folks, it's the way it is. It's personalities. It's unique. God did this. And so parents, in this family series, one of our jobs is to help our kids celebrate their uniqueness. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. But yet sometimes as parents, I know, look, it gets challenging. It's tough in COVID and everybody's like living together and you're all on top of each other. It's like, ah. But parents, when we say things like, why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Do you realize how harmful that is? Because they're not their brother and they're not their sister and they're never going to be. And so when we want them to be like somebody or be like this, they can't be. Why can't you be like your uncle? Why can't you be like your... They're just not going to be that. They're never going to be you. Now, we need to model for them. Model for them. All these wonderful things as parents, we model for our kids. But they're never going to be... They're never going to be you. They're going to be who God made them to be. And I think as parents, we've got to honor that, remember that, and call that out in their life. Part of our job is to help them understand that. But here's the problem. There's a lot of challenges with that, and it comes more than just from the family. A huge challenge out there that challenges people's uniqueness and kids' uniqueness is this thing called social media. And nothing wrong with social media. Look, I love social media. I'm on social media. Social media can be a great tool, but social media can be problematic when our kids feel the need to have to measure up to what they're seeing. And they've got to be that. And so you have all these influencers coming in. You've got these people coming in. And you've got these feeds coming in. And they feel all this pressure to not be who God made them to be, but to be who this person is. to be like this and to dress like this and to eat like this and to act like this and to shop like this and on and on and on it goes. It's no different than peer pressure that we had grown up, but it's a lot different peer pressure. It's in your face every day. And mom, dad, it's no wonder that this generation now that's in school, currently in school, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, or college, if you're currently school-aged, studies say that this is the most anxious, the most stressed, and the most depressed generation so far. And one of the reasons is because we just feel all this pressure that we can't be who we are, but we have to measure up to somebody else. And it's not just next gen. This pressure to compare isn't just next gen. The pressure to compare is like happens to all of us. The other day, I'm having lunch over at Norman Brothers. Anybody know Norman Brothers restaurant here? Yeah, it's a great spot, and it was really busy that day, so there was no places to sit inside. So I was with a buddy. We just got our food, and we went out, and I sat in my car in the parking lot, turned on the AC, and we just talked in the parking lot. But so we're having lunch together. I'm watching this go down. This guy pulls in a car. Now, this guy was at least 75, maybe 80. So he's not young anymore, a little older. But I watched this guy, and I'm not a big car guy, but you know, he drives in a pretty, you know, nice car. And I watched this go down. Now, he doesn't know I'm watching him because he can't see. I'm over here, but I'm watching this go down. This 75-year-old, 80-year-old guy gets out of his car, and he notices that right next to him is parked another car very similar to his. So what do you think he does? He gets out of his car. The first thing he does, he doesn't even go inside the restaurant. He gets out of his car, and he walks around the other car, looking at the front of the car, looking at his car, looking at the side of the car, looking at his car, the back of his car, his car. He's 80 years old, and he's comparing his car to the other car next to his. Like, dang, I wish I had that car. Like, when does this comparison thing ever stop? I mean, what age do you got to be before you don't compare anymore? It's like I just couldn't believe it. I just watched it just happen right in front of me like that. It was crazy. Look what the Bible says. It says, we do not compare ourselves. It is, what's it say? Mm-hmm. Some translations use another word there. They said stupid. I didn't want to call us all stupid, so I just used foolish. But we need to remember, we got to teach that to our kids and value our kids for their uniqueness because God created them that way to be unique. Now, look, parents, it doesn't mean we don't shape our kids. It doesn't mean we don't model for our kids. It doesn't mean that we don't develop character in our kids. It doesn't mean any of those things. That doesn't mean we just let them, go and do and be whatever they want to go and be and do. We discipline them. We shape them. We mold them. That's a parent's job. Well, they're unique. They ought to be able to do whatever they want to do. Uh-uh. There's morality. There's ethics. There's Christianity. There's issues. And we teach them to our kids. Part of the job of being a parent is to pass on the legacy of being a follower of Christ to the next generation. That's part of the job of being a parent, is to pass on the legacy of being a follower of Jesus to the next generation. But from time to time, I'll overhear a conversation. I used to be a coach of Pop Warner football and used to be involved in when my kids were younger. And I'll hear a conversation, and sometimes I'll hear a conversation goes like this, and one parent will tell another parent, you know, I just, you know, this whole, you know, religion thing, I don't want to force it on my kids. I want my kids to just decide whatever they want to decide. And if they want to go to church, they can go to church, but I'm not going to make them go to church. You know what that says to your kids? It says that God is an option, and He is not an option. He's not an option. God is not optional. As parents, we need to communicate to our kids that He is not optional. So at my house, there was a rule, still is a rule at my house, that as long as you live under my roof, you're coming to church on the weekend. You're coming to church. I don't care if you're 5, 15, 25, or 35. By the way, if you're 35, what are you doing under my roof? You must have snuck in a back door because... Get a job, get a life. But look, my kids know, and they always knew. You live under my roof, you're coming to church. But parents say, oh, Pastor Kevin, that's so like, Pastor Kevin, I hear you. But if I force my kids to go to church like that, they're going to end up hating God. Can I tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell?
Yes. Amen.
That's not true. That's not why they hate God. Let me tell you why they hate God. And they don't hate God. They just don't quite understand it all. Here's why kids end up not liking God and not coming to church. It's not because you made them go to church. Because, I mean, think of the church. Miami Vineyard Community Church, we got awesome kids and youth and the dumb. Who wouldn't want to come to this place? It's amazing what God is doing. So it's not, here's what happens. Here's why kids get turned off to God. Kids get turned off to God because mom and dad act one way at church and act a completely different way outside of church. That's why they get turned off to God. Mom and dad, they come to church and they're all churchy. And they turn on the God thing. But when they walk out the doors, I'm a parent, right? We're yelling and we're this and we're that, and the person cuts us off in traffic and we tell them they're number one in sign language and all kinds of stuff happens. Now look, moms and dads, let me help you out here. Your kids are not expecting you to be perfect. No kid wants you to be perfect. You know what kids want? They want something real. They want faith that's real. They want to see God informing your decisions that you make, informing how you live your life, making a difference in your life outside of these 60 minutes. That's what they want to see. So moms and dads, look, it's not easy, but we can do this. We can do this. All they want to see, all they want to see is an effort. It doesn't have to be perfect, just an effort to be made. So parents, we want to help you with this a little bit. We've been offering some next steps during this series. And so if you go to our Miami Vineyard app, there is on the Miami Vineyard app, there's a spot on the app that says fun family activities. So on that spot, if you click on that spot, we've added a resource page this weekend. So we have family fun activities. We have suggestions for date nights. And now we've added a new addition to that this weekend for spiritual resources for your family. So you might want to check that out later. Just want to let you know that's there. So here's number one. I said two things in one word. Here's number one, celebrate their God-given uniqueness. Here's number two, affirm their God-given value. Affirm their God-given value. So for those of you who are parents here today, I'm just curious. When you talk to your kids on the phone, whether it's audio call, FaceTime call, okay, when you talk to your kids on the phone, before you hang up, how many of you say, I love you to your kids before you hang up? Can I see your hands?
Amen.
I love you. I love you. Okay. That's a lot of you. Either you do or you're lying to me. Okay. Now, question. Okay. So look, you talk to your kids at 10 a.m. You hang up. Before you hang up, I love you. 2 p.m. I love you. 5 p.m. I love you. Like you said, I love you like four times that day. So question, do your kids forget? Do you need to tell them all those times? But we do. So here's the deal. With your kids, my kids, and us as adults, inside every one of us, there's a bucket inside us, a huge bucket that is needs to be filled with value and affirmation and words of encouragement. It needs to be filled. That's why we say things like, I love you, over and over and over. It needs to be filled. And here's the problem with the bucket. You ready? The bucket's got no bottom. It's a bottomless bucket. And we all have inside of us a bottomless bucket. That's why we can't ever stop saying, I love you. That's why we can't ever stop affirming. We can't ever stop valuing. Because the bucket is bottomless and it needs constant affirmation. That's why number two says we got to affirm their value. We need to fill that bucket. I mean, just everybody, adults, kids, everybody. We need to be believed in, trusted, understood, affirmed. If you think about your life, think about your kids' life. There's a battle happening every day for your kids. They're hearing stuff all the time from other people. Hopefully not from us, but from other people. You're worthless. You'll never measure up. You're not cute enough. You're not smart enough. You're not athletic enough. And on and on and on. And so we've got this pile of these things coming our way, this pile of stuff coming our way. And that's what leads kids to question their value, question their worth. Am I even, what's the point of me even being here? Because they simply don't know how valuable they are. So let me help us with our value. Let's start with us as grown-ups. Do you know how valuable you are? Do you know how valuable you are to God? Now look, I want to help you with something. I want to help you. I hope you never forget this. I don't know of any human being that from time to time doesn't struggle with our value. I mean, you pick the most macho guy, the most self-confident woman in the world, and from time to time, everybody wrestles with their value. By the way, most of the time, those really overconfident people, it's just a front because they wrestle with their value all the time. They're just trying to let you know I got no issues when they got lots of issues. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But let me just say this. Look, to every one of us in this room, let me help you with something that's so key so you're going to know how valuable you are. Will you ever question your value? There's something that some of you have this picture tattooed on your body. Some of you wear it around your neck. Some of you have it as a necklace. I'm talking about the cross. If you ever question your value, think about a cross. Because on that cross, Jesus Christ held his arms out and he said, I love you this much. Every time you look at a cross, think you matter. You matter. You matter. You matter. I thought about getting a huge cross erected on the top of this building with two words, you matter. You matter. And every person driving home on that expressway that's going to come down here very soon is going to see two words, you matter. You matter. Can you imagine every day driving home at 5 o'clock and say, see those words, you matter? Yes. Wow. Because they get beat up all week long and they come drive past Miami Vineyard and say, you matter? What God might do in their lives? Every time you see a cross, you matter. You matter. You matter. So parents, we gotta let our kids know this. They matter. But it's hard to pass on to our kids the fact that they matter when we don't feel like we matter. It's hard to pass that on. The reason people act in unlovely ways is because they feel unloved. That's why there's all this rudeness in Miami. That's why you got all this stuff happening, because people feel unloved. When people feel loved, loved people love. Unloved people unlove. And so when we got to know how much we matter to God, and that's what we pass on to our kids, and that's what we pass on to each other. We got to pass it on to our kids. They need your time. They need your, so mom and dad, let me give you just one word. I said two things in one word. Here's the one word. Parents, I'm going to give you one word. Here's what your kids need from you. One word. Now, before I give you the word, let me go back a couple weeks ago. We were talking about marriage, and I said, there's one word I want to give you. If you're married here today, I'm going to give you one word. Keep doing this word. Keep doing this thing, and your marriage is going to last. Anybody remember what the word was? Yes, I heard it. Somebody last night yelled out, sex. No, that wasn't the word. Somebody last night yelled out, sex. Okay. The word is pursue. You have to keep pursuing your spouse the way you did to get them to marry you. You keep pursuing your spouse, okay? Y'all forgot that from a couple weeks ago. Let me give you one word when it comes to being a parent. Parent, here's what your kids need. You ready? Here's the word. They need your presence. Not gifts. Most families living in the United States of America don't need any more gifts. I'm not saying you shouldn't give gifts. Get gifts. But it's not like a lack of gifts. Most families living in Florida don't need another trip to Disney. Nothing wrong with going to Disney. Go to Disney 5,000 times. I don't care. But it's not what they're longing for. You know what they're longing for? Kids are longing for you. They're longing for your presence. They want you. Your presence, you, your time, your energy, your affection, your attention, your touch. They want you. They want you. You know, from time to time, I'll talk to somebody, a conversation, and they'll say, you know, Pastor Kevin, I don't get it, man. Pastor Kevin, I've like done everything for my kids. Everything. They've got this, they've got that, they've got the other, they got everything they want. What else could they want? I don't get it. They want you. They want your presence. They want you. That's what they want. Kids want you. They need you to be close, to be hugging and fist bumps and mess their hair up and sit right next to them on the couch. My kids know if dad's coming, he's going to sit on them. They better slide over. Kids need healthy touches. And look, I know I've raised 5 teenagers and helped raise many others. Look, when they get to be teenagers, they push you away. I get it. But let me tell you what they're doing. They don't want you to go away. They're pushing you to test you to see if you're going to love them back. They don't want you going away. They want your love. They want your love. They push you. They're testing the limits because they want you to love them back. Keep loving them. Keep loving them. Keep loving them. Don't ever stop. And let them know how valuable they are. So what I want to do today as we wrap this up is I want to celebrate the presence of God in our lives and how valuable we are to Him. So I want to wrap up the series by taking communion together. So when you came in the doors today, you might have grabbed one of these off the top of one of those pub tables. If you didn't grab one of these little purple cups of juice, go ahead and put a hand up in the air. Don't be shy. There's people walking around going to give you one of these. Don't be shy. Put them up. Keep them up. People are going to come around. You're joining us online. You've got time right now. Find some bread, find a cracker, find some juice, find something. Join us right now and participate with us in communion. Take communion together with us right now because I believe God's going to do something very special in our midst right now. So as go ahead, keep them up, keep your hands up. Don't be shy. They're still coming. Keep them up. I want you to notice this verse. It says, be full of love for others. Following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So we've got this. Let me tell you to use this. Take the clear plastic and pull that one back first. Expose that wafer. And then take the purple one and pull that one back. That's a little tougher. And expose that juice, but don't take it yet. We're going to take it here together in a second together. We want to remember what Jesus did for us. You never have to question your value when you look at the cross, when Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. Every time you question your value, every time you question, do I matter? Every time you question, does God really love me? Every time you've been messing up and you're wondering, can God forgive me again? Never have to question your value because you look at the cross and says, God says, you matter. I love you this much. So let's take this together. Let's remember. So on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took a loaf of bread. He broke it. He said, this represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this right now together. Let's remember Jesus. The Bible says in the same way, after the bread, he took a glass of wine. He said, this wine represents my blood, which is going to be shed for you on a cross. So you never have to question again your value. Jesus, I love you and I'm always going to be with you. 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he's with us. He's with us. He's with you. Let's take this together right now. Let's remember Jesus. And let's stay in an attitude of prayer if we can for just a moment. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in this room right now. Some of you look in this room. God is doing stuff in your hearts and your lives right now. And maybe you just want to just put your hands in front of you like you're receiving a gift, because I think the presence of God is just very thick and very real in this room right now. Those of you online, in your place, in your space, some of you, you've been questioning recently, even as recently as yesterday, do I matter? We talked earlier about being a masterpiece, and you're a masterpiece. You realize you're a masterpiece because you carry with you a piece of the master. But some of you right now, you're just not a piece of the master. Some of you, you're a piece of whatever. You feel like that. Can I tell you right now, God is in the house. His presence is in this place. And some of you, dare I say, some of you, even supernaturally right now in this room, some of you are sensing the presence of God almost with his arms wrapped around you, like giving you a hug. Listen, that's real. You're just not making that up. That's real. I have felt the presence of God wrap his arms around me many, many times. That's the presence of God. And God says to you today, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You matter. You have value. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in this place today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.